When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Tuesday, July 26th, which means that we are 1 week out from the trade deadline. I'm Chris Cotillo. This is the Fenway Rundown podcast. Been a crazy week for the Red Sox. A historic loss on Friday night, 28-5 to the Blue Jays. And as David Ortiz was getting inducted in Cooperstown, the Red Sox were flailing at home. It was a miserable weekend against the Blue Jays, and it set them up for what could be a very interesting final week before the trade deadline as Heim Bloom decides if he's going to buy, if he's going to sell, if he's going to stand pat, or really what the immediate future of this franchise holds. To preview everything that's going to happen before August 2nd at 6 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by Chris Smith, my co-beat writer at Mass Live. We're going to get into all the possibilities. Could the Red Sox add at first base or in the bullpen? Could they stand pat, do nothing, and kind of see what this team is really like when all their injured players get back? Could they sell somebody like J.D. Martinez or Nate Eovaldi or Xander Bogaerts? Everything's on the table. We're going to discuss all the possibilities. Here is Chris Smith, a new dad, fresh back from paternity leave. Chris Smith is back from what felt like, for the guy who had to work almost every day, a year-long paternity leave, but it really was only a couple weeks. Chris, this is your first chance on this show to talk about Cooper and what the last few weeks of your life have been like.
I'm very tired. It's a lot harder when you have a 3-year-old too. But she's
all
over.
I don't know why I said, I have no idea.
Yeah. So, she's all over him. So you've got to be careful. You got to be don't poke his head. He's got soft spots on his head, stuff right. like that. And she's totally wants to get hug him every minute. So you're getting nervous that she's going to crush him and stuff. And fall on him. But other than that, it's pretty good.
Good. Well, you're back now. As I was in Cooperstown over the weekend covering David Ortiz's induction, you were at Fenway for what was probably the worst series of the year for the Red Sox. And there's a few candidates. I think the Yankee series last weekend, that one against the White Sox earlier at Fenway. But you saw on Friday a historic loss and then two boring losses over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. I didn't watch the games because we were busy up in Cooperstown. I saw the box scores. I saw what happened. I saw the quotes after that you wrote about. My thought was, this reminds me of 2020. I know they didn't get beat as badly as 28-5 at any point during that season, but just kind of like the complete ineptitude, random guys that you've never seen play before. I know Yolmer Sanchez had a big RBI last night, but they kind of have 2020 vibes other than the fact there were fans in the stands.
Yeah, right now they're not playing defense. As Cora would say, they're not catching the ball, they're not hitting the ball, they're not making pitches.
Other than that, though, it's going pretty well.
Obviously Friday was pretty historic, 28 to 5. And then I also got a viral tweet about some guy proposing that made my night. So.
Right, that was the only win of the whole night.
That was a good win. It's there's balls dropping in the outfield, Duran not chasing after it after he sees it, and then him not really taking accountability. He was very far away from Verdugo. I counted on that video, there 11 seconds he saw where the ball was, and in 15 seconds Verdugo finally got to it. So he wouldn't have just collided with him. So, I think he should have just probably said I screwed up.
Yeah.
But whatever. So, but that just there's not other people losing balls in the Red Sox seem to be losing balls more at their home park than the visitors. And,
right.
Jeter Downs just looks like a disaster, striking out a ton and, making errors in the field. Now, he had never played third base until a couple of weeks ago, but still, this is just where you're at. There's just poor defense all around. Cora mentioned that, he thinks in the last 14 days, the defense has really taken a turn for the worse. And, but there is a lot of turnover. They have 13 or 14 guys on the IL. I think it'll be 13 today after Winkowski comes back. And so, you know, there are people on the IL. You've got Story, who's a great defensive player on the IL. You've got Devers, who's your best player. Mm-hmm. You know, JD Martinez has not, you know, played in 4 days. And right. So, you know, they've kind of had to have a makeshift lineup. A lot of minor leaguers, I mean, a lot of guys that has spent most of the year, you know, Sanchez spent almost all of the year in AAA.
Downs. You look at Downs. Everywhere, even,
you know,
even
Duran. I mean, even Duran.
Cordero started there.
So, like, you know, it's a very shaky lineup right now. You know, like, you're not going out there expecting to score many runs any day. And they're hurting themselves. I think that core of, you know, stress that last year when they were playing, like, when they had the whole COVID situation and they had a lot of people out, you know, and they were playing some guys like, you know, Jack Lopez or whatever. At least they were playing, like, good defense, and they're allowing, you know, their offense to be able to hang in it, stuff like that, and their pitchers to make pitches, whatever. Right now, they're just not playing good baseball overall, and you know, Coors acknowledged that.
Right. I mean, it's obviously been a horrendous July. I think July is somehow even worse than April, which would have been hard to believe for those of us who sat through that month, but this is coming at a really bad time, and I think this is what the crux of what we're going to talk about today is, as a trade deadline preview. I mean, you are, as we sit here, we're 1 week out from the trade deadline on August 2nd. Red Sox will be in Houston. I will be there next week covering everything that goes on, whether it's a lot of moves, whether it's not. Heim Bloom and I sat down and talked, and I posted that as a podcast early in the month. I think it was July 6th or July 7th. And he said, you know, we're in a position to buy at that point. You know, they were, I think, in the first wild card spot, well over 500. We're in a position to buy. This is the kind of position you want to be in. He talked about bullpen help and maybe upgrading first base, all those types of things. And since then, you know, they entering last night, lost 9-10, a couple 5-game losing streaks in there. You obviously that horrible stretch 4-10 against Tampa and New York, come back with a win last night. But there's, you know, you have, I think it's, seven more games before the trade deadline. And the crux of what I'll be writing today is, you know, these are the most important seven games of the season, because this is really going to determine what they do leading up to, you know, 6 o'clock, not 4 o'clock. It's now 6 o'clock, apparently, Eastern time on the deadline next Tuesday. There are plenty of ways they can go. There's obviously the, okay, we're in the hunt. You know, we're only a couple games back. We have a lot of guys coming back from injury, and we can buy, and they go get, I don't know, relievers. They go get first baseman, maybe some outfield help. There's the, all right, there's so many teams here. We have so many pending free agents that we have to look to sell some pieces. Maybe JD Martinez and Nate Eovaldi and Michael Wacha, Rich Hill, who knows, Xander Bogaerts get traded in that mix. Or there's the, you know, Stan Pat 2019, maybe a small move here or there on either side and see what you got with the guys coming back. I mean, the range of what can happen in the next week for this team is extremely wide, I think. And I really don't know which way it's going to go. I really think if they, like, lost last night and they got swept by Cleveland, I think that they were going to be sellers. And if they somehow win 3 or 4 against Cleveland, 2 or 3 against Milwaukee, maybe head to Houston, still right in that mix, they probably stand pat. If they get hot, which I don't see happening considering how many injuries there are, they buy. I mean, it just feels like, you know, and I asked about 9 people this yesterday at Fenway, Verdugo and Pivetta and Cora and, you know, different people. Like, do these games feel more important? They said, no, just 1 of 162. But really, the reality is what happens in the next few days is going to determine a lot of this franchise's future. And I think that's pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah, I think the difficult thing, too, with this trade deadline is that, you know, there's that extra postseason spot. So, like, you know, you can tread water here and still be in it at the trade deadline. But, like, Heim's trying to think, like, well, are we really in it? Or, you know, he's deciding whether the team is actually in it, is good enough to, you know, if they do get into the playoffs, to do anything. Like, there's just so many questions and, you know, he has to ask himself. So that makes it harder. But, yeah, I think that obviously these, you know, the next two games again, or the next 3 games against the Guardians, the 3 games against the Brewers, and you know, going into that Astros series is huge. And, you know, I mean, there has to be, I asked Cora about it on Sunday or whatever, like, is there urgency going into this series? That, you know, because you've got so many guys, you know, like, Eovaldi, people would want Eovaldi. I mean, he's, you know, postseason record, they could get a lot for Eovaldi. you know, JD Martinez, guy with postseason experience who, you know, performed in 2018 in the postseason. I mean, these are guys that performed last year. So these are guys that you can get a lot for. So, you know, I don't know if they would, the Bogarts one is an interesting one. Like I could see them trading several guys, including JJ Martinez and Nathan Eovaldi if they're sellers, but like, do they trade Xander Bogarts or do they, you know, wait to negotiate more with him after the season in that, you know, span where it's just their exclusive rights to negotiate and stuff like that. So he's kind of the X factor. The X man is the X factor.
I mean, I don't understand why. And we've seen, you know, Chaim Bloom take emotion out of it so often, but like, you know, not that he's, I think the whole thing about him, you know, being robotic is totally overblown. And like, he has told me on multiple occasions, like, this is really hard for us to trade, whether it be Mookie, whether it be Benintendi, to let Brock Holt go, whoever, any of these, you know, fan favorites they've let go. But I just don't see a world in which he, like, you know, trades JD and trades a couple of these other guys. And it's like, well, Bogarts is a different case. He's still a pending free agent who's going to get you a lot of them, you know, like he's still going to get you prospects. So I think, you know, that they'll probably
get you the most.
Right. And if you do that, if you're going to go, if you're going to sell, why not go all in? I know fans are going to be pissed, but, you know, if you're going to choose that path, go for it. My prediction, I think, I don't really think that they're going to go too far on either side. I think that 2019 trade deadline is a great comp. Like, they're not going to go all in. Last year, you know, people talk about, no, they didn't do much at the deadline. You know, Schwarber was a great addition and Robles was great down the stretch, and Austin Davis has turned into a pretty good piece. So, you know, there was one pretty sizable trade, one kind of small one, and one really small one in that Davis for Chavis rhyming swap, and they all worked out. I think you can look at that, and Schwarber for, you know, one of your top 10 prospects, that's a significant deal. I don't think they're going to make anything that significant on the buying side of things this time. And I don't think they're going to do anything of major significance on the selling side, unless, I don't know, they go 1-6 in these next few games. I think, you know, that 2019 deadline, Dave Dombrowski, I know it's a different regime. I know Chaim thinks much differently than Deal and Dave did. But that is a great comp. You look at the way, you know, they were just in the wild card race. They had no chance at the division. Dombrowski decided, all right, let's go and get Andrew Kashner, who was a disaster, but they went and got Andrew Kashner for like 2 17-year-olds that I don't even know what happened to those guys since, but from Baltimore. Kashner came up, struggled in the rotation, struggled in the bullpen, but it was just a minor move when they needed a starter. And that was the move they made, and they did nothing else up until the trade deadline. And Dave Dombrowski said, well, it didn't make sense to mortgage the future for a team that basically he didn't believe in. And, you know, I think there's two reasons that could be the case here. Number one, it's hard to believe in this team with the inconsistency we've seen. And I don't blame the Red Sox for, you know, not going all in, because if they, you know, don't believe in them, then that's deserved after what April was, what July was, the inconsistency and all of that. And number two, they kind of have, you know, if you were talking PR wise, a built-in excuse, you know, not to go all talk radio, but the built-in excuse is, well, at the trade deadline or beyond the trade deadline, we're going to get back Devers and Trevor Story. And, you know, I know JD's not in the IL, but you know what I mean? And Waka and Hill and eventually Kike. And, you know, they're still holding out hope about Chris Sale in September. So they can have that built in excuse like, oh, we're adding all these guys back, like they are trade deadline additions, like they did with Sale. You know, who knows, maybe James Paxton in August, guys like that. It seems like, you know, at full strength, obviously this team's a lot better than what we've seen the last couple of weeks with 15 guys on the injured list. And I think that they might choose to, like, okay, we're going to do a minor upgrade here and there, but instead of trading prospects for a first baseman, Casas comes up, you know, eventually. Instead of trading for a rotation piece, we get Waka and Hill and Paxton maybe back. You know, instead of trading for an outfielder, we just try to get Kike Hernandez healthy, right? Like, I mean, that seems to me like the most likely scenario at this point, but 5 straight wins or 5 straight losses changes that instantly.
Yeah. And they can't really make an excuse though for first base.
Yeah, no, that's been a disaster. Yeah. But I think that they thought Casas would be up and producing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. And so like my prediction would be that they're not going to go 1-6 over the next whatever. I mean, I think they're probably going to go 500, and it's just going to be a difficult situation that produces that kind of outcome. And
purgatory, it's the worst place to be.
Yeah, I think that it's better for, you know, one way or the other. You know, it's better for your organization. It's better for the fans. You know, you sell and you get some good prospects and you build for the future, or you buy and, you know, you're making a run this year. So, yeah, I totally agree with what you said. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this week. And, you know, you can make the case, though, that at full strength, you know, next month, they can, you know, get right back at it. If they're, you know, if it's at the deadline and they're only 3.5 games behind, we saw the type of June that they had. I mean, they were, you know, incredible in June. And so, you know, yeah, I think that it should be interesting moving forward here the next week. This is just such an interesting week.
It is. I think let's talk about kind of, you know, if they choose this path, what you'd do. As big news just came in, Red Sox have designated Phillips Valdez for assignment. That was broken in the Worcester Red Sox game notes today. So that's the Phillips Valdez era has, at least for now, come to an end unless he clears waivers. So if they buy, who's a name that you would want them to get? I mean, or what is the area that you think? Is it still, to me, like, I've been beating the drum that their bullpen's horrendous all season. But now, as we saw, you know, yesterday, and we've seen a couple of times, if you go one inning of Schreiber, two innings of Whitlock, and an inning of Hauk, or some combination of those three guys, like, that's kind of enough. You know, like, I know they need other guys to step up, and you're going to need Salamura, Brazier, Diekman, Strom, these guys. Like, I think they still could benefit from adding somebody, but the bullpen's in better shape than it has been all year. So I look at that as less of a need. Where do you think the biggest need is right now?
Yeah, I mean, Brazier's been, you know, terrible lately, and Diekman just can't be trusted. So I would say one more bullpen guy. I would say, even though, like, you know, what we saw yesterday was, you know, awesome for them, and it kind of makes you question how many more wins they would have had if they kept Garrett Whitlock in the you know, bullpen.
Someone should have written that column 4 times in 2 weeks from April and May. Like, yeah, I did.
So, I mean, look at, yeah, you know, but I think the big thing, if they're selling and they want to, I mean, if they're buying and they want to improve, is first base. You know, they're getting no defense, no hitting from first base. Bobby Dalbec has been better of late, but, you know, Franchi Cordero is striking out a ton again. Like, you know, Cora talked about the frustration he sees with him. Yeah, I mean, Dalbec, like, just horrendous, like, you know, a horrendous year. And it's, you know, it's very, there's a lot of questions going forward of, like, what do you have going into next year? I mean, obviously you've got, you know, Tristan and everything, and you can look at him as a first baseman, but, like, is Dalbec a major league player? Is Duran a major league player right now? I mean, he's getting, you know, him, Cordero and Giordano's are just getting, like, buried with fastballs. You know, so it's like, you know, there's a lot of question marks. And so I would think that the top need is first base, but in, you know, it's very difficult to bring Casas up at this point too, you know, and believe that, you know, and especially with the way that they want, like, his development to go and everything. We've seen it with
Bayo, right? Like, you rush a guy before he's probably ready, and it can really screw with their development. I mean, we don't know what the long-term thing on Bayo is going to be, but.
And this was a disappointing, like, year, because, you know, they felt like this year he would be in AAA for a good amount of time, where he would be able to, you know, make adjustments to pitchers when they saw him a second time through, and or a third time through, and, you know, different games. And so, like, you know, it's really been in, you know, him just not getting at bats. That's a huge thing, you know? And so I don't think you can, like, count on him coming up this year and, you know, helping at first base. I think you need to make that move.
And the three names there that I have been thinking about, and the Red Sox obviously are probably as well, Josh Bell, CJ Cron, and Trey Mancini, I think, are the three guys that are available. You know, what's really interesting, and I've heard this multiple times, is that the Red Sox probably would have been a perfect fit for Carlos Santana, who got traded from Kansas City to Seattle about a month ago. And, you know, high on base guy.
He's obviously helped them out quite a bit.
And, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, the Red Sox are never going to be that team that is the first team to make a move right now under this regime. And it kind of bit them right there. Any of those guys stand out to you? I mean, Josh Bell is kind of your classic rental, can hit, play first base, just kind of seems like a fit, but obviously he's going to have a pretty good market.
Yeah, Crone's interesting. I mean, you know, obviously he's with the Rockies, so
yeah,
everybody's going to question the numbers coming in.
And he's under control for next year too, so probably a little bit more to get him.
He's a Heim guy, right? Like, he was in Tampa Bay for a year. He hit 30 home runs in Tampa Bay in 2018. And so, you know, Heim knows him at least and all that. I've always liked Trey Mancini. I'm not sure how good the numbers are this year.
They're down.
Yeah, his OPS is probably below 800, right? But I've always liked him. It's somebody to look at, like, you know, type of leader type guy too, in free agency.
Right.
I know we're not talking about free agency, but.
But, you know, yeah, that's a good point. We don't know if the Orioles are going to, you know, make a trade there. If they sell, I mean, do you think JD's the first to go? Evaldi, you know, Waka, if he's healthy, Hill, Strom, I mean, is it just that those obvious kind of rental guys?
Yeah, just because they're all one-year guys. But I think that they're going to be, like, a heavy market for them just because of their experience, especially like a guy like Evaldi. And, you know, you look
He's been horrible since he's been back, so you wonder what.
He has been horrible, and his velo has been down and everything. But, right. You know, you look at it, and you just him as what he's done and what he can do in the postseason. I mean, we've seen it two postseasons now. He can carry a team, and, you know, everybody's looking – for pitching, everybody's looking for an extra starting pitcher who's in postseason contention. Like, that's, you know, that's such an important thing. And so, you know, he's probably number one, I would think. And then JD, although, you know, one or two, but I mean, obviously, Xander would get you back the most.
Right. Let's end this with this, your prediction. How many, you know, I don't know how many trades is probably the wrong question, but on a scale from 1 to 10, how impactful are the moves that the Red Sox make in the next week? And are they buyers or sellers?
I would say that it's going to be a very disappointing trade deadline. As you said, like, you know, even if you go like 500 this time, you're three games out. Like, you have an excuse to not buy or sell. You know, they could do both, but, like, you know, I mean, it's just like a 2019 thing. So people weren't happy with last year's trade deadline. They're going to be even more disappointed with this one. I would say like a one or a two.
Yeah, I'd say three, just because I think, you know, Heim Bloom's not going to not make a move. I don't think Abraham Almonte, who they acquired yesterday in a small deal with Milwaukee, he's just been added to the Woo Sox roster as outfield depth. I don't think he's going to be the most impactful, you know, piece that goes either way, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, as active as last year or in 2020 when they traded Hembree and Workman, Pilar, Moreland, all those guys. Or, you know, in 18 when they got Evaldi and Steve Pierce and Ian Kinsler. I think the 2019 year where just Cashman and or Cashner and only Cashner, I think, is probably the best comp. So I'll go with the three just because that's what I think that I'd rate 2019, and that's how I'll rate this one. But again, and not to, you know, beat this drum for the eighth time, but this week, a big week for the Red Sox, and we'll have it all covered on Mass Live. That's Chris Smith.
Cashner, has Andrew Cashner even pitched since then? No, he hasn't.
He has not. That was it. That was the end of his career. So obviously that trade, didn't work out. All right, I'm going to try again on the outro. That's Chris Smith. I'm Chris Cotillo. Thanks for listening. We'll have everything trade deadline related covered at masslive.com the next week.